This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
And now, drum roll, we've got a special guest.
Yes, Michelle. Michelle Matthews is with us. Michelle is, you know, she's been publishing now for quite some time. Previous to The Lucky Guides, there was a fabulous series of books called a booklet, the little tiny little boxes of deck of secrets, it was called. And it really was a deck of secrets because what Michelle loves to do is discover. And that's what travel is all about. It's about discovery. And it's about finding new places, and Michelle's guides help us do that. So Deck of Secrets, she started in 2003. Mm-hmm. And previous to that, there was some amazing shopping guides to Sydney and Melbourne. Now, wouldn't we love to have those back? And then, you know, the amazing thing about Michelle is what she's got planned. So currently we have the Lucky Guides to Melbourne, and that is restaurants and bars.
Cocktail bars in particular.
Cocktail bars, because cocktails are...
I was wondering how you and Fiona knew each other. Very interesting.
Yes, well, there may have been a few of those evenings in cocktail bars. And, of course, Michelle has some other big plans. Well, let's stick with Melbourne for a section. There will be a craft beer guide to Melbourne. Of course, Melbourne, we know, is like the craft beer capital of Australia. And then there will be a wine bar guide to Melbourne.
Wow.
But if you're not lucky enough to be in Melbourne, there are going to be some other incredible places. Iceland.
You know what? You're not going to believe this. I am going there at Christmas time.
Fantastic. Lucky you.
Oh, I can't wait. But you've got a guide for Iceland?
It will be coming out soon.
Yay.
Yes. Yay. Can
that
you believe
is really
that?
Exciting. We're going out for a wine bar afternoon, you and I. That'll be awesome. So your love for everything to do with food and travel has been combined into, a career in guides and coming up with unique ways to tell the world all about Melbourne, Sydney and the places you love the most. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. I think we all sort of try to incorporate as many things as we naturally like, you know, into our lifestyle or, if possible, our business and work.
That's fantastic.
That's been my goal.
So do you have to go out and do the research personally for these for these gorgeous places?
Well, I do try and do as much as I can, but as you would well know, as a Melburnian, it's just impossible to stay on top of the number of new places that open here. It really is extraordinary. And I do want to be particular about the places I go, not just to every new place. So what's different about these guides as opposed to my Deck of Secrets guides is I now take hold of my network and all these fabulous people that I know who are industry insiders. They are my curators now.
So that's great.
That's the difference.
So I'm visiting Melbourne. I've just come in from overseas and I am curious to go to a place called, say, Chin Chin, for example. Mm-hmm. What made you put Chin Chin in the deck of cards?
Look, it's always difficult. Very difficult to choose the ones that go in, especially since we put only 52 in.
Yep.
Chin Chin, of course, is something that is on everybody's lips. Virtually, many, many people who know Chin Chin aren't even from Melbourne. They've just heard the reputation. So it's somewhere that's very much a destination that people want to go to. They want to see it. So by trying to tell them, it is great, but do try and go early or late in the night, or just you need to be a little bit clever if you do intend to get that place ticked off on your trip to Melbourne. But it's one of the more well-known places that are in the guide. In the past, when I did Deck of Secrets, they were a bit under the radar, but there is nothing that's truly under the radar anymore. Everything is out and known with all the different media channels now. So now it's more about coming up with places that are really worthy, that really represent the best of Melbourne or are iconic or historic or just, have that something extra.
Well, because there certainly has to be a level of longevity to a guide. So, for example, the current Lucky Guides to Melbourne, they would be you'd be looking to relaunch those perhaps every 2 years. Would that be suitable?
Hopefully a bit sooner than that, yeah. So the business is just getting started again, so we'll experiment with a few different titles and also with frequency. But frequency is important, but one can never tell who is going to shut down.
So. Well, as we know, the hospitality industry in Melbourne is an insane environment. But there are, of course, other places where the hospitality scene is going off, and that would be, of course, your coming guides to Bali. And, of course, the food scene in Bali has just, well, it's a mecca if you love food, particularly up at places like Ubud and things like that. All the Australian restaurateurs that are going over there to work, and, I mean, of course, you would, absolutely. So it must be very interesting looking at those guides when there's so much happening in that environment.
Look, absolutely. And I think for a lot of travellers, they think of Bali as perhaps a cheap place to go for a bit of sun and sand and bintang. But it's actually, as you say, it is really becoming quite a mecca for food. So if you go there and sort of don't experience those, you're really missing out one of the key things that's it's differentiating Bali from somewhere like Phuket, for example, or a lot of other beach destinations. There are some top chefs doing some amazing things. And because people are coming from so many different destinations, you are getting sort of some fusion food there that is a little bit different to what you might find elsewhere or anywhere in the world.
It's developing quite a cuisine of its own. And you were there recently, I believe, at the Ubud Food Festival.
Could not have timed that better, yes. Ex-/part-time Melburnian Janet Deneef started the Ubud Food Festival some years ago. That was her second attempt to try and reinvigorate the tourism in Bali after the bombings. So those many years ago, her first one was a literary festival. And the food festival is absolutely going off. And it's very, very popular with people across Indonesia, across Southeast Asia. And I certainly met up with a lot of Melburnians that had come over specifically for that event. And it is eye-opening. Really, Indonesia is a massive country of many cultures, many influences, so much history that has extraordinary diversity of food.
Well, and also Janet runs food tours around Indonesia. Oh, my goodness. When she told me about those, I was just like, wow. So they're actually cruises. You go on a small group cruise around the Indonesian islands eating. Oh, my God.
I love the sound
of that. That sounds incredible. So that's another amazing thing, because Indonesian food, of course, isn't really, you know, the cuisine itself isn't that well known in Australia. And even you might visit Bali 100 times and eat the same nasi goreng every time. So there is an enormous variety of elements to the cuisine which we don't know. So that's very exciting.
So, ladies, for me, food's food. My game is obviously travel. So, but you're talking about Bali, and the reason Australians like to travel there is to be pampered a little bit and to get some food. So, price wise, these restaurants that you're referring to and the festivals that you're referring to, are you expecting to pay about the same price for fine dining here in our country, or because it is Asia, is the food cheaper but of the same standard?
It is cheaper. Comparing it in terms of standard is a little bit different, though. So you do have quite a lot of variation. If you think of Bali, so many of the restaurant outlets are actually in 5-star hotels, so they spare no expense. You will have extraordinarily over-the-top, conventionally fine dining experiences, whereas in Melbourne, you know, it's a bit more, I suppose, contemporary. We don't have to have white linen to be fine dining, for example. So you've got all of those. I mean, I specifically try and focus more on standalone places because I think they're a bit more different. And I think people are less inclined to go into a resort just for a meal. Price-wise, though, you can, again, if you're not in a 5-star resort, eat very, very well for significantly less than you would elsewhere. And often with the most breathtaking views you can imagine.
Yes, I'm with you there. So if you've got anything that's looking out on a beach or especially in Ubud on those gorgeous rice paddies and everything.
Looking out over those beautiful valleys and extraordinary.
How did the guide idea come around for you, Michelle?
So I have been in publishing since 1998 and came to it from a point of no experience at all. So I made all the mistakes. I spent a lot of money doing the wrong thing. And I had some problems with binding at one stage, problems with perhaps pricing, problems with distribution, and I combined all my problems that I had learnt from with making a book and also my love of playing 500, the card game, and combined them together in a concept called originally Deck of Secrets and now Lucky Guides, which solves a lot of those problems in terms of size, an alternative format, no binding, price point, all these sort of things that then made sense. But the actual idea for the Deck of Cards guide was a conversation with one of the marketing managers at the City of Melbourne, who asked me to put together a proposal for a guide to the bars. Because back in 2003... the small bars were starting to open up, but people didn't know how to find them. They were truly hidden. And it wasn't specifically to be cool. It was because people didn't think back then to even go down the laneway.
Yeah, you didn't go down a laneway.
Right. There was nothing down there.
We had, and in those days, the people that were making good money out of those were Melbourne walking guides. Yeah, there were a couple of companies back in those days that did walking guides of Melbourne's, you know, hidden secret pubs and bars, and they were making a fortune with people to actually find out where on earth these places were all hidden.
I had a policy whenever I had visitors and we wanted to do some bar hopping in Melbourne, we would go to one spot and we would ask the staff, after we'd had a drink or two, we would ask the staff where was their favourite little hidden bar, and they'd send us off down some little errand corner, and then we'd ask them when we'd had a drink there, and so we'd end up, and it was totally curated by the bar staff because, you know, they know.
Oh, they do, absolutely. So these would be handy in hotels, down at City Hall or anywhere like that, really, or even on anyone's coffee table at home. I think they'd be amazing.
Well, people love giving them to their interstate guests as sort of like, you just take care of yourself. Show yourself around Melbourne. I've got my life to lead.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So that they sort of babysit them with those guys.
Well, I've got some friends that have got Airbnb, so these will come in handy. They can just sit them on the coffee table in their Airbnb and people can choose where they're going to go out and have a nice drink.
I think Michelle
something.
Was telling me earlier that there is a large corporate retailer who has recently relocated to Melbourne from Sydney, and they requested that every single person who was moving to Melbourne receive a lucky guide to Melbourne.
So it's luring people from our northern city to the southern city and sort of tempting them with all these, you know, the riches that we have here.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Well, we are here again, escaping the cold. It's 12 degrees outside. We are warm and toasty in here because we're talking about Bali again. I know we talk about Bali a lot on this show.
It is one of our favourite destinations, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the food is just incredible. I was recently there, as you may recall from last week's show, and Michelle gave me a fabulous recommendation of a beautiful venue called the House of Cyan, which was inspiring you to redo your Bali guide again. Is that right, Michelle?
That's right. Yes, I did a guide many years ago, but had some trouble getting the stock actually into the country, but I've solved that problem now. And I was just, I guess, waiting for inspiration. And the Cyan House in Ubud, it just delighted me within just a second of walking in and just seeing this place. I was just blown away. And this wasn't an idea or a venue that is an expression of huge amounts of money. It's the location combined with creativity, combined with their service and their offering, and that together created a delightful experience that just...
The food is Japanese inspired.
It's Japanese and Latin. It's not the Nikkei fusion concept from Peru in particular, but it is, yes, a bit South American as well as Japanese because of the owner.
And it is owned by a Japanese. And the staff are lovely because they wear little Czech bow ties, which doesn't seem either Indonesian or
Japanese. Or Latin
at all. I must admit we did have a giggle at their bow ties. But from a very warm place to something that we always associate with being cold, although we know it's not always cold, and that's Iceland.
I just can't believe you're doing a guide of Iceland. I'm in awe of you. It would be like my biggest dream come true to be able to go to Iceland for 6 months and write a book about it. I just think it's one of the last Sebastians, I feel.
I don't think you'd need to spend 6 months there, though.
No, I think it'd be too cold.
I think really just summertime.
Do you know Icelandic men are really hot, don't you, Fee?
This I did not know.
They are really super hot.
Okay.
Another reason to go to Iceland, I must say.
Well, look, it is quite a magnetic destination for a lot of people. So my key writer is actually an Australian person, who Carolyn Bain, and she goes over there all the time. She's a photographer, but she's basically wants to make that her second home, or ideally her main home now. She's not the only one, though. I don't know if you're familiar with John O'Duffy. He's a Melbourne gay comedian.
Ah, okay.
Based full time in
Reykjavik. Imagine the jokes he'd be able to come out of Iceland with.
Well, he is based in Reykjavik. He puts on gigs there all the time, so he would be very much a very big fish in that small pond there, I would say.
We need to get him out here for that big festival about comedy, and maybe get him to launch your guide at the same time.
How fabulous would that be?
I know. We're racking up the events, and then we can. I mean, I don't know anything about Icelandic cuisine or that is like.
We need to go.
Yes,
you and I.
Now, are you planning to go, Russ?
I'm going in December. Would you like to come?
I would love to come. I could fit in.
We could do a couple of shows from there, couldn't we?
Yeah, we definitely could.
Right. Michelle better come with us. We'll all go off to Iceland.
Does somebody need to hold the fort here?
Well, Tad can do that.
Tad has sent in his regards today and told us that it is sunny, 25 degrees in Brisbane. Thank you for that note, Tad.
You do go away for a week and you miss out on the Iceland trip. I'm sorry about that, Tad.
Yeah, so I'd be very keen to learn more about Iceland.
You know what's interesting? Sorry, Michelle, I don't mean to butt in there, but we used to be an Alaska representative agency here in Melbourne, and these countries close to the Arctic Circle are quite spectacular. And what I've found interesting, I have been to Alaska 15 times. And
15?
Look.
My gosh.
It's so opposite to what we have here. I mean, our country is beautiful. There's so many browns, reds and greens, and it's certainly the great southern land, as we're known for. But when you get up to these countries where it's all about glaciers and whites and different colour blues, and it's just... It's so calming and so beautiful, isn't it? I just think it's absolutely amazing.
Did you do a cruise, one of those wonderful Alaskan cruises?
Done the cruise up the Inside Passage, thank you very much. And that was quite spectacular. So I went to all the little cruise ports along there. But, you know, when you see bears out in the wild and a mother wolf with her pups and all of these spectacular things and... There's a lifestyle about living in Alaska. I mean, I've been up there. We went to Barrow, which is on the top of the closest part of the Arctic Circle. You can get to the Arctic Circle, and in the middle of the year, they have 23 hours of daylight.
And extraordinary.
So when we went there, it was the middle of winter, and they only had 20 minutes of daylight a day. And so we got off this, and we were flying into Fairbanks, from Fairbanks to Barrow, and believe it or not, the sun and the moon were under the plane. It was just where we were positioned in the world. And we got off, and it was so cold there that our clothes froze the minute we got off the plane. And
can I ask you why you were there at that time of the year?
Sheer madness. Oh, that's
I
the only
just
reason.
Thought that there were some really cheap deals, obviously.
No, to see the Arctic.
The
Northern Lights, yeah, which is another reason to go to Iceland. But
and did you see them there?
We did see them. And look, these beautiful, amazing lights just shooting out of the sky and coming towards you. And absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know the Japanese... You'll love this story. The Japanese all throng in their hundreds to places like Fairbanks and Barrow and Reykjavik because it's good luck if you conceive a child under the Northern Lights.
Oh, is that so?
Yes,
I love
right.
stories like that.
It's a love story. They all go there and they do their thing, and then they if a child is conceived, then it's going to bring good luck for the child, and the child's going to have a wonderful life. So.
Is this au naturel, out in the open?
No. Well, possibly. I mean, I think you've just got to do it under the Northern Lights.
Okay.
So,
do it while you're there.
So you're
in the hotel room.
Your next passion is going to be all about Iceland, right, Michelle?
Absolutely, yes. So we'll be bringing out a guide to where to eat and drink in Iceland. So I'm not going to be focusing on the activities. There's plenty of people who do that already.
Yes, well, you might meet a nice Japanese fellow there, though.
I have heard that one of the best places for sushi is over on the east coast of Iceland.
Is that right? Wow.
And of course they would incorporate the local fish fished there,
yeah,
as opposed to what you might find in Japan, for example. So that's just one example of something very unusual that you might find in Iceland, in addition to, of course, their own cuisine, which, would you believe, is quite lamb-heavy. They've got their own sort of grilled lamb is a thing in Iceland, and Icelandic fish and chips.
Wow.
And kind of a yogurt dish as well that is quite popular. I probably can't pronounce it correctly, but Skylar.
Oh, yes. Yes. I think I've seen that on a menu or two around Melbourne.
Fantastic.
Well, that's exciting.
So they've got quite an interesting scene there and a lot of interesting bars, a lot of Melbourne-style cafes as well. So,
and it's such a small country. I believe the population, and don't quote me on this, but it's around about 300,000 people. And just a delight to go and visit, absolutely. So what will your plan be with the trip going there? Are you going to be going yourself? You're not going to go there?
I'll probably go there after the guide is published.
Well, that's a good reason to go there. You've got to go and promote it.
I need to go and check it out. But I feel like I know it fairly well already, having seen so many and worked on it so intensely. But no, I have a team on the ground that have been working on the writing and various other aspects. So that's been fantastic.
God, to get into travel writing, we'd be good as travel writers.
We'd be excellent. I definitely think I miss my calling, for sure.
I think so. I think so too.
How do you get there by plane?
Yeah, look, generally speaking, you go to one of the big European ports and then you would fly with Icelandic Air or and there's another little low-cost carrier called WOW. Yeah,
WOW.
And WOW Fly.
I'd be really good on that one.
WOW Fly. Oh, you would be too. WOW. so they'll both fly you in there. I'm not so sure about the standard of accommodation. I mean, for me, getting to these destinations, accommodation is always a secondary thing. I'm not a 5-star guy, so I'm happy to stay anywhere. It's all about the destination for me, not where we're staying. Mm. Yeah, so
I think there's been a lot of demand for people. The increase in travel to Iceland has just been just exponential. So there are new hotels that are opening up, and a few secret places as well. I think there's a secret hunting lodge way up north that basically doesn't even have any public access. You have to just know about it to be invited or be allowed to stay.
See, damn it, I'm going to have to – I really want to delay my trip now until your guide's out.
I'm sure she could give you the insider information pre-guide release.
It will be out before you go to Iceland. Yes,
when's
absolutely.
It out?
Later this year, but certainly before December.
All right, I'm up for it.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
So we are escaping. We're talking about Melbourne. We're escaping from Melbourne. We're on the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. It is Saturday afternoon, in case you've just woken up. And we are here with Michelle Matthews, founder of The Lucky Guides, talking about other European ports. I know, Michelle, that you're quite a fan of that beautiful, spicy country of Spain. What have you got planned for a guide in Spain? Because we just love that space.
Yes, I adore Spain. Well, Madrid is my preferred alternative home to Melbourne. Well, I was just going to talk about my other favourite destination in Spain, which is San Sebastian, also known as Donostia in the local Basque language. So it's on the northern coast there, and it's an absolute food destination.
It is one of the great food destinations of the world. You talk to chefs, and they use it as some sort of mecca for dining. I have not been there yet.
It is very much a food city, and everybody's interested in food there. In fact, the Basque country itself, they have gastronomic clubs, which are men's clubs, men's only. So they're the ones that go in, they do the cooking. Some of them allow women to go and eat there as well, but essentially men just go and cook for themselves.
Wow, I love the idea that men are so into the food and they're into participating and making and preparing and being and presenting. And
want your man to cook for you every day, don't you?
That would be nice. It would be nice. He's actually thinking of taking a bit of a cooking course along with my other housemate who also can't cook. And they're both thinking of enrolling them in a cooking course together.
That sounds like a great plan.
It does. So why do you think that San Sebastian, I mean, it's a beautiful port city, it's supposed to be stunning. Why do you think San Sebastian is such a beautiful city for food?
There's a few reasons, actually. I mean, for a start, it's just right on the coast there. So they have incredible wealth of fishing. It's also got the Pyrenees as well. So it's a different climate to a lot of parts of Spain, which are more dry. So there's a lot of things that they can produce there that can't be produced elsewhere. So they have access to this incredibly fresh, diverse produce. The real reason why it's become such a culinary destination and not just good food is because many, many years ago, the wealthy people from Madrid would go north for their summer holidays and they would bring their chefs, who would then be inspired by all that fantastic food and then sort of create amazing meals there. But then that knowledge, that combination of talented chefs, which had been brought in from all over the world to Europe, to bring them to northern Spain, has actually stuck there. People then were inspired to take those conventional cooking styles and combine them with a great produce. That was many, many decades ago, but it's still paying off today.
And you mentioned in the break that the next 50 World's 50 Best Restaurants, of course, which we know well because it was in Melbourne recently, will be held in Bilbao.
That's right. So that's the biggest city, basically, in Spain's Basque country. So that will be the host. But it's a very short drive across to San Sebastian. And a lot of the other top restaurants are also located in sort of semi-rural areas there and are also easily accessed.
So when will that be happening?
So that's in June.
In
next
June?
Yeah, yes.
Ah, okay, so you can get on board and start booking your flights. We better start thinking about that because we have to wrap up our show today.
Amazing escape hour it was.
It was really fantastic. I think we talked about all of my favourite destinations, even though I didn't know they were my favourite.
I'm calling Michelle my Iceland girl from now on. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be your Iceland girl.
Thanks for
take
having
me
us.
With you.
I'd love to. What
we all
a great
want to
show.
Take each other everywhere.
We'll have Tad back next week. And thank you, Michelle, for coming on. We'd love to have you back on our program again. So
I would love to come
when
back.
Some more of your guides are out, feel free. Fee, I can't wait to see you next week.
Next week, absolutely. Russ, you have a fabulous week.
Thank you. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.